would like to invite you this morning over to the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 4. Colossians chapter 1 verse 4. Colossians chapter 1 verse 4 reads this way. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you for the privilege once again of gathering together as your church, your body. And then, Lord, knowing that you desire to honor and glorify yourself through your local New Testament church. May we never forget that. And may we remember and always be reminded of the privilege that it is to be part of your church and part of the body of Christ that would honor and glorify you. And so, Lord, and knowing that, we ask that you open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. We do pray for the power and the filling of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds, that the Spirit might guide us into your truths and to understand the salvation that you've given to us in an even greater way. And then, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they understand by the conviction of your Holy Spirit that is simply by trusting in what you did for us when you died and rose again on the cross of Calvary, shedding your blood, Lord, the perfect sacrifice to redeem us, that we have salvation. Bless your word, bless your people, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, Since We Heard of Your Faith in Christ Jesus. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. So these are new believers here. They heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their faith and trust in him. And the Apostle Paul's writing and saying, since we heard of your faith in Christ, this is what we want you to know. Amen. This is what God wants you to know. Remember, the Apostle Paul is being directed by the Holy Spirit to write these letters that were put into the canon of Scripture for all believers to understand and to know what God has given to you and me in our salvation. Now, it's really kind of amazing, but the word deliverance is also mentioned here, and we're not talking to lost people, we're talking to saved people, so we want to keep that thought in mind. So again, after salvation, it's important for new believers to be pointed in the right direction, don't you agree? They need to know which way to go, because listen, all the apostles were saved when they were following the Lord, but didn't they need direction? And if they need direction, certainly we need direction, and God has given to us his word and his church to guide us towards the truth. So not only is it good for new believers, but equally as important, it is good for saints that have been saved for any length of time to consider the path that we're on and to make sure that we're in harmony with the word of God. Lord, I want to make sure, because here's a crazy thing. I know sometimes this is hard to believe, but our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We might have some ideas and we might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, better look and see what the Bible says. Because some people say, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. Well, what's really important is not what I think, not what somebody else might think, but what does the Word of God say? And may that be our guide and our light in this world. So this morning we want to consider four fundamental truths that are foundational if we want truly to be led by the Lord and to honor and glorify Him. And with that comes being found faithful when he returns. And that's really going to be what we're going to come to realize. If we don't realize it on this side of eternity, when we see Jesus, we'll realize there's only one thing that matters in this life, and that is the glory of God in our lives. Listen, the glory of God in our lives. That is God's purpose for your life and mine, that he would glorify himself in and through our lives. And he does not do that in the power and the strength of our flesh. He does that in the power and strength of his Spirit. And he's told us, he says, listen, it's not by our strength, not by our might, but by his. And so we need to really have a clear understanding on how that works. And I believe the Apostle Paul breaks that down here for us very clearly. So the first thought we're going to look at is the right beginning. Secondly, we're going to consider our deliverance from darkness. And then thirdly, Jesus Christ, the vehicle of our deliverance, and then the reconciling work of Christ. These are all things that are continuing, taking place on this side of eternity as well as in the life to come. It's all going to be culminated. Faith won't be necessary in heaven. Do you believe that? Well, I think that was one of us. Faith is not going to be needed in heaven because we'll see Jesus face to face, and God is going to miraculously transform us to his likeness. I don't understand that, but I believe it. You know why? Not because somebody told me about it, but because it's in the Word of God. And so may we adhere to those truths and rejoice in them. Amen. We are a child of the King by the grace of God. We will be a holy and peculiar people the same way by the grace of God. And let's just consider the right beginning just for a moment. And that is really the love in the Spirit. And that really ought to be something that we look forward in our own lives. Do we really love the saints as God loves us unconditionally? Listen, without suspicion, without maybe even prejudgment, saying, oh, well, this is what I think. No, listen, God loves us unconditionally, flawed in all. And so that's how we ought to love one another, not holding back and saying, and by the way, listen, that's impossible for us in the flesh. The flesh says, you know what the flesh does. The flesh draws up all kinds of things. Have you ever thought all kinds of things about somebody maybe wanting to do something unkind to you and find out you were completely wrong? Has that not ever happened? I mean, we start thinking about things and surmising things, and all they are our imagination carrying us away, not having all the facts, and then all of a sudden finding out that we're wrong, right? Kind of like the old Perry Masons. You watch those and you think the person that Perry Mason is defending is guilty until you see all the facts and you get all the details and you find out, oh, they were really innocent the whole time. So you only need to watch one Perry Mason in your lifetime. You just know the end result all the time. He's always right. Anyway, all right, here it is. Ready? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. He says, since we've heard of he knew it was an attribute of God in them for the love that they had to all the saints. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. He's saying, this is an attribute, this is a known attribute, a marker, if you will, revealing and testifying of your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 6, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. Now that's a powerful statement. Did you hear what he just said there? He said the gospel that you've heard has already been proclaimed throughout the whole world. That does not negate the fact that we still need to propagate the gospel throughout the whole world. Notice he says in Paul's day that this gospel has been preached. Notice again, verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth what? I didn't say that. The word of God is saying this gospel, if it's in you, it's going to bring forth what? Not by our effort. Listen, that's not something that we fabricate. You know, it's an amazing thing. When they graft a tree, and I don't know how it works. Maybe you do. I don't understand it. I don't know if the people that do it really understand it. But here's one thing that they know. It works. So they'll take a tree and a fruit tree, fruit-bearing tree, and it doesn't produce very good fruit. But what they do is they have what's called the grafting tree or the father tree. And what they'll do is they'll take a branch off of it. They'll make a slit. I don't know exactly how they do it. And they put that other opened up branch in the other one. And everything from that top part up bears this luscious fruit that's so good. Everything that from beneath that part that still bears fruit. The old part of that tree still bears, but they're small, they're not as sweet, they're not as good. But I don't understand how that works. But the life of Christ implanted or engrafted in your life and mine is not to produce our fruit, our best, but his. And so we have to come to the conclusion as to whether or not we really believe that we are engrafted by the grace of God into the life of Christ on this side of eternity. Because God is not wanting to use the strength of the natural man. Remember, Jesus said that which is flesh is what? And that which is spirit is what? Now, what does that mean? Again, we look at people and we say, oh, look at their talents. Look at what they, oh, if they could just use that for the glory of God. Baloney. Just in case you wondered, that's not what God wants. Because did it come from the Spirit of God? No, their talents came from the natural man, and that's still flesh. God wants something brand new for his honor and glory. Guess what? That has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with the Son of God. Amen. And so we just have to allow the Lord to embed that into our hearts and minds. And by the way, to allow that to liberate us from trying to pick up a load God never intended you and me to carry. God does not want us to be failures, but by the same token, he does not want us to serve him in our strength and to try better and to try harder and to do all these things, but to trust him to do these things for us. So clearly consider that as we look at these portions of Scripture. Look again, verse 6, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. Listen to this. As it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Now, how does he know that? He says, well, because we can see the love that you have to all the saints. You remember what Jesus said? But before he was getting ready to go to the cross, remember what he said to his disciples? How will they know that you're my disciples? He said, by the love, that the unconditional love that you have one toward another. Now, did Peter still have a way to go? He did, didn't he? Because he didn't deny the Lord at that point yet, but he's getting ready to. And then he was getting ready to do this number. Ready? Ready? This is the kind of love that he had. This is Peter's love, not the Lord's. Peter's love towards the other apostles. Ready? Here's his love. Lord, though all forsake you, these scoundrels, they're going to do it. But me? I'm not going to forsake you. Guess what he did? He forsook the Lord, didn't he? And listen, you and I too will fall flat on our faces whenever we think we are going to do something for God. And by the way, it wasn't over yet either. Because remember after the resurrection and the Lord was cooking a nice meal at the end and he told them, hey, children, have you any meat? Remember? And they cast over on the other side and you know the story. And I think it was John maybe that said, it's the Lord. And Peter just, he just wanted to get near to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all went over there and they had a nice morning breakfast. They were eating the food that the Lord had prepared for them. And then, of course, the Lord asks Peter three times, lovest thou me? Remember that? And then Peter had a concern, not about his love, but what about that disciple over there? You know why he was still doing that? Because he had not yet been converted, as the Lord said, and then he would strengthen the brethren. What was the conversion on the day of Pentecost? From self to the Spirit. The conversion. We have to be converted. We have to be delivered from self to the Spirit of God. And that's what God is trying to communicate. Listen, no doubt the great commission of propagating the gospel has been given to the church. But tell me in your mind, you don't have to answer this out loud, what does God speak more of in the New Testament? The great commission or you and me as a vessel for his honor and glory? See, if we're not careful, we forget about what God is really talking about concerning his church, because he cannot use a vessel filled with self, but he wants to use a vessel filled with his Spirit, or he wouldn't have told us to be filled with the Spirit. So listen, we would be more productive for the glory of God, or may I say God would use us to his glory in a greater way if we would focus in and not neglect the other of telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we would pursue the glory of God in your life and mine. Love one for another as Christ loved us. Not how we would love, but how, remember our love? Lord, these scoundrels over here, they're going to forsake you, but not me. That's not the kind of love God wants. God is wanting his love in us that hopes all things, believes all things. He covers a multitude of sins because he loves us. And we ought to do the same for the brethren. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? That if we have the love of God, we're going to overlook those things because it's not our job anyway. It's the Holy Spirit's job to point us towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. What did they learn of him? He's led by the Spirit of God. He's loving the brethren. Who also declared unto us, what? your love in the spirit, not your love in the natural man, but your love, he declared, listen, you know when somebody is always talking good things about everybody. And you also know when people are just negative. Listen, this problem. Look in the, if we got problems, just look in the mirror. There's enough to contend with right there. We don't need to deal with anybody else. There's enough right there. There's a whole big mess right there for you and me to bring before the Lord and say, fix it, God. Because I can't fix it. You fix it. So we find here really the right beginning. And then I want you to notice our deliverance from darkness. And that deals with really the knowledge of his will and love displayed. So look at verse 9. For this cause also we, what cause also? Since they heard of the new faith. Amen? And these believers. Since they saw the love to the brethren. Since we're seeing these things, you are the fire, you are the spark of God that we want to fan into a great big blazing fire. Oh God, set our souls on what? Fire for your honor and glory. The spark's already there if you're born again. So he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of what? Isn't that amazing? We might be filled with, we got all these grandiose ideas. Oh, listen, you know, we could do this. Did God ever ask us to give him our ideas in the Bible? Can you show me? If it's anywhere, it's going to be in the book of Hesitations. It doesn't exist. Amen? It doesn't exist. But listen, God is not wanting our opinions. He's saying, I've laid out the course for you. Amen? I've planned your purpose to glorify me. Guess when? In eternity past. I've got it all laid out. All you have to do is call upon me, seek me, and you're going to find it. For this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's God's will for your life and mine. Now, that doesn't mean that we've got it on our own. That means that it's God's desire to give it to us. And so do you think if we ask God for that he'll give it to us? Don't answer this question. Are you asking God to reveal his will and his knowledge concerning you? Are you saying, God, I today need you to show me how to walk in your way. I need you to show me how to love unconditionally, not to judge people, not to point, but listen, and by the way, and to have a heart, because it grieves, it breaks the heart of God when he sees people that are drowning in sin or that they're failing in the Lord. It's not a pleasant thing for the Lord. He's not willing that any should be lost, but that all should have redemption and that all, especially his children, should walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. So he says this, he says, I want you to know that I want you to have all the spiritual understanding. Why? Why is it that God wants you and me? And again, remember this thought is, it's our deliverance from darkness. Why is it that ye might, the believer, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all what? Did you hear that? Listen, do you know that if we are filled with the Spirit of God, now there are people... There were people in the Lord's earthly ministry that were in opposition to him. But the truth be known, you know what? He did nothing that was unpleasant. Really what he was doing was, if he pointed anything, cannot Jesus Christ of all people know how to reveal sin in the life? The problem was that those that were in darkness, that were of their father, the devil, loved their darkness and hated the light. So we are not going to, listen, the world is never going to like us. We're not trying to be friends with the world, but really, when we stand before the Lord, the children of God are going to be there will be no railing accusations against one child of God that was led by the Spirit, because all we were trying to do was point them to the Savior that they might have eternal life, what God has given to us. There's no doubt in mind, one second, After a lost person dies, they realize how wrong they were and what love. Listen, it's not an easy thing. It's not a comfortable thing to hand out a tract to somebody that's lost. Do you know why? Because there's an anticipation there of rejection. And the only reason why there's rejection there is because of the darkness of their hearts and minds. But may we be faithful still to the glory of God, because that is their only salvation. That is their only hope. And so he says this, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And notice this, being fruitful in every good work. So let me ask you a question. Are you fruitful in every good work? And that's something between you and the Lord that we need to examine our own selves. That what is fruitful unto every good work? Shunning evil? Not sitting around, it's amazing, listen, not listening to the filth of this world. We don't need to know. The Bible says it's wise for us to be ignorant concerning evil. You don't have to know about the lifestyle of those people that have turned their backs on God. It's wickedness. We don't need to delve into that. We don't need to know all the fine details of what they do, because there's nothing fine about it. It's all wrong. It's all bad. And so. You know, our heart, what are we going after? It ought not to be the things of this world. It ought to be the things of God. Listen, time is precious. And every time we can get along with God and get into His Word is a benefit to us and a glory to Him, because it reveals more of what God wants to do in our lives. And so God, listen, create in me a hunger and a thirst for You more than anything else. More. Listen, this world, again, it's nothing new. It's just a vapor. This life is just a vapor, is it not? That's biblical. I've had people that didn't know the Lord tell me that. It's the truth. So he says that ye might walk worthy, verse 10, unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power and all patience and long suffering with what? All right, so here it is. Listen, be careful that we don't look at just one or two things that we're doing for God and neglect everything else. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord. And what does that mean? Does that mean the joy of the Lord when everything's going our way? What is the joy of the Lord? Lord, only God can bring this. I thank You, Lord, that You've allowed this into my life for Your honor and glory. Whatever it might be. It could be a health issue. It could be a setback, supposedly. You know what we think? Are we really praising God? Why has this happened to me? That shows something, doesn't it? We're missing the Lord. See, why did that person do that? Why did this person? Is that what Joseph did? Why did my brothers do that to me? No, he knew that God meant it for good. They meant it for evil. He knew that too. Potiphar's wife. He knew exactly what that was all about. But he was not willing to see Potiphar's wife. He was willing to see the Lord. You know what? We need God to allow us to see Him. We can't do that, and we won't do that on ourselves. Lord, we need You to do that for us in our own lives, that we might have this kind of power, His glorious power in verse 11, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's the deliverance He's talking about. See, this is the meat of the Word of God that if we're not careful, we think as long as we can just draw a crowd. Please tell me where that's spoken of in the Word of God as opposed to the life change. In fact, the life exchange. It's not a changed life. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's our life for Christ's. And the only way we can have His life in place for our lives is we don't even know how to deny ourselves. Lord, show me. How to deny myself? How does that work? And then when this is taking place, notice what he says here in verse 12, and this is again our deliverance from darkness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or help to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. And by the way, that's right now. It's also in the future, but it's also talking about the present, that we are heirs of the saints of light. Now listen to this. Again, he's talking to the saved. Verse 13, who hath what? He has delivered us, that's past tense, from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. But what is our life revealing? It ought to reveal that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of light, not of darkness. And so these ought to be the things that we evaluate in our life. And if they're missing, bring them before the Lord. God's not asking us to roll up our sleeves and try harder. God is asking us to call upon Him to fulfill that which He promised to you and me. And so He says, I want you to know that He's delivered us. Listen to this in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so if you're here and you're a child of God, you know that to be the case in your life, that you have redemption. And you know it's through the blood. There's no other way. So the moment somebody says, well, listen, it's good to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you've got to do these things. Should that be a red flag in your heart and mind? Is that redemption through His blood and that alone to believe anything? So listen, can somebody, we need to be serious with God. And listen, people that say that you have to belong to this church or to that church, as far as like the Jehovah's Witness wants you to, you can't go to heaven unless you can't, I don't even know what they believe anymore, but they used to believe that the kingdom of God was going to be here on earth, and they were part of the 144,000 until they found out they had more than 144,000 people in their group. And then you got other people that say, yeah, believing in Jesus is good, but you can lose your salvation. No, listen. I'll be courteous, I'll be kind, but I beg to differ with you. You're missing Christ, because salvation is in Him alone. How about the other group that says, oh, yes, trust in Jesus, but you got to get dipped in the water. And that is nothing more than a picture of our submission to the Lord of the death, burial, and resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ in us already because of salvation. And so if those people are believing that, we don't do them any favors to say, yes, your fellow Christians. No, listen, we are part of their deception unless we say, I'm sorry, listen, I beg to differ with you. There's a problem there. Is there not? There's a problem. You're not a fellow believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because only the blood-bought child believes in the blood and that alone. And if you believe in anything else on top of that, you've added to the work of Christ, you're none of His. Ever. You're none of His if you believe that and die in that lie. And so we got to believe. Listen, it's time for God's people to stand, amen, and be the light that God called us to be of the truth. Just get along to, go along to get along type philosophy. Oh, you're a believer, I'm a believer. Baloney if they don't believe in the blood of Christ for redemption. And that's it. And that's it. And if they're if they're coddling all these other ideas of today, that you got to have to say the right pronouns. There's only two, right? Oh, listen, oh my goodness, you're going to ruffle a bunch of feathers. Hey, listen, that's what God said. That's what God said. And I'm not going to go along with someone's delusion to believe there's something different than what God has said, because it's only going to come up to haunt them when they stand before the Lord. And we'll have their blood on our hands. Why didn't you stand the way God told you to? Maybe I would have known. And if not, it's still to the glory of God. And so these are the things that are important in 2024. You know why? The return of Christ is on the horizon. It's on the horizon. I don't know the day or the hour. I won't pretend. I won't ever tell you I do, because the Bible says we can't know that. But God says He's coming. And there ought to be something in the heart of the child of God that says He's coming. Because we're not going to get caught off guard, the Bible tells us, because the Spirit of God indwelling us is telling us He's coming. He is on the horizon. Be ready and watch, for you know not when He comes. Be ready, is what He's saying. So here's our deliverance from darkness. And maybe may we understand that by the grace of God and walk in that deliverance that God has given to us. Listen, forget about this. This is the doctrine of our evil heart. Well, I'm saved and I guess that's all I got. Is that what God said? That's all you got? Well, on this side, I know I'm just going to suffer and I'm just going to fail God. But praise God. No, don't praise God. Because that's not what He told you to do. He told you to seek Him and call on Him for the exchanged life, for His life in you. Do you not think the Lord knows how hard our heart is? He does. That's why He gave Peter as an example. Did Peter love the Lord? You know he did. Was he right in the place that God wanted him to be in? No. Not until he was filled with what? The Spirit of God. You and me won't be right. Listen, if you're failing, if you're floundering, and I'm not talking about, you know, a sinless perfection life, but my goodness, can we not go one day and praise God for his deliverance? That he guards our heart and our minds and our hearts and minds can be stayed on him, and we don't have to walk consumed with the evil wickedness and the thoughts of this world? And if not, maybe we better call on him and say, Lord, do what you've promised in me. I can't do it. That'd be a good place to start. That takes us out of the focal point and puts it all on the Lord. And if we put it all on the Lord, he will do it, because then when it takes place, we glorify him. Not one of those Israelites said, did you see what Moses did? Not one of those Israelites thought Moses parted the Red Sea. Not one. They all glorified God. Do you know that God wants us to be a vessel unto his honor and glory? Just like Moses. Was Moses perfect? Oh, no. No, he wasn't. No. But he did glorify God by the power of God. He wants that in our lives. Very quickly. Jesus, the vehicle of our deliverance. Look at verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, speaking of Christ, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Isn't that amazing? Does that mean us? We were created for his honor and glory? And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and we're in him. You know, that's shouting grounds for you and me. That's our God. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's the lover of our soul. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We're all kept together by the power of God. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And we're in him. And so this is the power that drives the believer, or it should be. It is the power of God in you and me as a child of God. Amen. Have you ever stopped to just meditate on that? The power of God indwells in me. You see why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit? Can the Spirit of God bring conviction on a lost soul? He's the only one. Question, is the Spirit of God indwelling you? Might that be the purpose of the Spirit of God indwelling us? That we might be his witnesses by his power? But if we're just filled up with selves, with self, the power of God's not going to come out. We hinder, we grieve, we hold back the Spirit of God. And we think, well, let me just think what I can do, what I can say to help this person see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth, nothing. You and me can do nothing to help this individual, but the Spirit indwelling us can help that person see their need. But we have to be yielded to him. We can hope and pray and try as hard as we want to all day. Peter did that. And he saw things the wrong way. Oh, Lord, you can't go to the cross. That's too painful. And then he writes his two epistles. You know what it's all about? Suffering for Jesus. He was against suffering. You know, that's natural for us. Wait, so what did I do wrong? You ever think that? What have I done? All this is just falling on me. You ever have nothing close to Job's day, but a Job kind of like Job-like day, where just one thing after another just kept going wrong? That was God allowing that for our good and his glory. But we start saying, we say, Lord, we confuse the Lord. Not really. But here's what we say. Lord, I want your will work in my life. What's going on? You just asked me. You know what's going on? God dealing with ourself to crucify the flesh, to deny the flesh, that we might experience God. But that only comes, and listen, if you really want it, you'll experience the love of God. And I will not tell you that you will not experience trials in your life, because that's where faith comes from. I'll not tell you that, because that would be a lie. God allows things in our lives, but it takes the grace of God for you and me to see that they're coming from God for our good. And you want to know, really, listen, you know why we won't do this? You know why a child of God won't want this in their life? Because God's not as important as he should be. You think really the churches today are on fire for God? Like they should be? Like God wants them to? I don't think so. And I'm not knocking people, but you don't hear a lot of this teaching in books that preachers and pastors write today. They're not writing this kind of stuff because it's the Bible. They're writing on how you can improve yourself. You'll not find that in the Bible. How this and that and the other. But they don't show you, and I'm not saying all of them. Okay, there's probably some. I would dare guess there's some that are saying this is what the Bible is saying. But we don't find it to be the prominent teaching of the day. And that's why the church is dying. Because we as God's people need to be submitting ourselves before the Lord. In fact, presenting ourselves, as Romans tells us, chapter 12, as a living sacrifice. We're not willing really to sacrifice ourselves. We're willing to do a lot of things. But I don't know how much we're really willing to sacrifice ourselves and say, God, listen, I need you. I need you to fulfill your will. Lord, I don't want my will today. How about this? Lord, I want nothing for me. Would that be a good thing to say to God? I want nothing and really mean it. I want nothing for me. I want nothing for me, God. How about this? Lord, I want everything for you in my life. Everything, everything. You are worthy of how much? Everything, all, everything. I don't know that we're there. I'm not saying there aren't churches, and I'm not saying that they're not individuals that are there, but of real churches, I wouldn't say the majority are there. I don't even know if half are there. I don't know. But I do see a problem, don't you? I do see a problem. I think this is the philosophy today, at least in America, increased and filled with goods. I have need of what? I have need of nothing. I'm not saying that about us here. You're here because I believe you're seeking the Lord. But how real are we willing to get with God? Are we willing to say, I want nothing for me, God? Nothing for me. You know that would solve a lot of our problems. Nothing for me. We wouldn't have anything to complain about. All for you, God. We wouldn't have anything to complain about. This is from you, God. You want this for your honor and glory. And last thought here, notice the reconciling work of Christ in verse 20. And having made peace, that's us, through the blood of his cross. Remember the blood of the cross? That's our redemption. By him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. Who's doing the work? God's doing the work, not us. I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, and he's talking to the saved people. He could be talking about maybe in our lost state. He could be. But tell me there's no wickedness in our minds after salvation. Yet now hath he reconciled. By his grace, we've been reconciled. In the body, verse 22, of his flesh through death to present you how? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Listen, That is God's plan and purpose for your life and mine. Not, listen, because of the deliverance that God has given to us. He's delivered us. He is delivering us, and he will yet deliver us when we stand before him completely. But he wants us delivered here on this side as well. You know, that's where we need to, you know why we don't like that? And that is really what you find predominantly in the New Testament, because it requires us to die to self. That is a hard thing to do. We would rather find something wrong with the preacher. We would. Listen, I hear what he's saying, but did you see his tie was a little crooked? One shoelace was on. I don't know if I ought to listen to him. How do you know that, Brother George? Because I have to deal with myself too. So he says, I want you to know that I want to present you, who were sometimes enemies in your mind by wicked works, that have been reconciled. Look at verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. Listen to this, to present you holy, that's you and me holy, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, to be presented a chaste virgin for his honor and glory. Notice, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. He's talking about in this side. He says, if you continue, you'll be presented this way. So that tells us he's wanting, if there's a question there, if it's contingent on something, if, right? Here's the medicine. If you'll take it, you'll get better. If you don't, guess what? You won't. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This is the reconciling work of Christ. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. God can make you and me a holy people. That is the predominant truth you'll find in the New Testament. Children of light, salt of the earth, a lover of God, a lover of all humanity. See, if we're not careful, that's the hard part. That's the hard part. No, preach something else, brother. Preach something else. Because if you preach that, I got to deal with me. And that's the truth of the matter is, and that's, we want to excuse that. Not a single one of us, me included, can get away from what we heard today before God. You and me are responsible for what God has spoken to Northwood Baptist Church about his grace and his glory in you and me. And we need to be careful, and repentance would be a good idea. God, I'm sorry. I've put other things. Maybe I got myself in the way. Maybe other things. Maybe I've got it. Maybe I misunderstood. I don't know what you want to call it. But God, I want to do it your way. Lord, I want to submit myself before you, present myself before you, because you're worthy to do with what you want in my life. And the only one that can surrender to the Lord in your life is yourself. Are we willing to let God really have his will and way in our lives? Do you believe he's coming back soon? Time is drawing near. No better time than the present to say, it's all yours, God, show me. Show me your way. Show me your will that I might walk with you. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the Spirit that opens up our hearts and minds to see the truth. And Lord, we pray that you would create within us a right heart toward you, to be yielded, that you might be able to guide us into your ways and your paths for your righteousness, Lord, and your glory. Meet each need, speak to each heart, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.